Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son, sending him into the world to be given up for men.
We could stand, please, and I'm going to start reading in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in a later time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has shone light. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment roiled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are a mighty God. You are an awesome God who has seen fit to call sinners into a relationship with you. And you sent your Son Jesus into this world. We're preparing for the Christmas season here as we celebrate the birth of your Son Jesus, the light that shone bright in this world. We thank you for salvation through his work, his sinless life, his death on the cross, his resurrection. We just praise you that we can trust in Jesus for salvation. Lord, I thank you also for the history of Emmanuel Baptist Church. We thank you for the blessings on this church and the godly men and women who have gone before and who have upheld the truth of the word, your word. And we look forward to the future of Emmanuel Baptist Church and the believers here. We look forward to the impact we can have for your kingdom, bringing the gospel to a lost world. Thank you for letting us serve and partake in that mission with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as the kids are dismissed for Route 316 in Junior Church, please greet each other warmly.
Well, thank you to a number of you who all morning long have been asking how my dad's doing. Last weekend, we went down and spent some time with him in central Illinois, God's country, home of the Bears. Had a great time with my dad. About a month ago, he spent almost a week in the hospital with pneumonia. then home a week, and that next week he had a TIA, kind of a mini stroke thing, and then got home from that, and this last Wednesday, after we'd seen him last weekend, got a phone call, and he was back in the hospital with pneumonia. So some would say that probably looks at 91 years of age like the beginning of the end for him. It's really the beginning of the beginning. And my dad would value that big, big time. I think I'm going to take about an hour and tell you what a great guy he is and how much I value my heritage and history. No, I won't do that. You want to vote, I know. I put this technology on my ear this morning, and I thought, somebody's been wearing my microphone. I found out Jerry Sutter used it Wednesday night at Awana Clubs, and I'm highly offended. And Pastor Rob used it last Lord's Day. I've been able to listen to a number of his messages. I'm excited about a man who loves the Word of God and looking forward to what God is going to do through you as you consider affirming his call to IBC. Well, been here before, right? Some are grinning and some are weeping. It's not done till it's done. And I know you understand that Rob will have to think through and pray through what God's doing in his life, and he has been. I know you've been praying with him. You're a praying church. I'm just praying that God would make us one as we speak. And I don't get a vote, so I guess it's make you one as you speak today. And I know he'll accomplish his perfect will. He always does. Have a high view of the sovereignty of God and of his love for us and for this great body called IBC. Hungry? Man, I missed preaching last Sunday. Though, by the way, I got to set in on a church service where a young man that grew up under our ministry is now a pastor of a church and shared the Word of God. And I couldn't be more thrilled with the skill set God's given to those who are following us. And that's an exciting thing. I know a little bit about what John meant when he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And I don't think he meant just his family. I think he meant all those that God helped him have the privilege of rearing up spiritually. And there are a number in ministry today. I think that's why I'm in intra-ministry. I don't like the way churches have treated some of the guys that I trained. Don't mess with me today. I'm joking. I'm so grateful for the privilege of having helped some develop in their faith to the point they are speaking for God even as I speak this morning. And I count that as great grace. Well, I'm hungry. I need to get to the book. Those of you who've been around the Word of God long are well aware of that familiar verse that was the last in the text read to us this morning. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. It's on the screen. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Wonderful Counselor came, my beloved, as a child. That's pretty unfathomable. Incomprehensible for me. This mighty God came as a child. This everlasting Father was an embryo in a virgin's womb and developed into this wonderful child. And this Prince of Peace. Elohim, part of the Trinity, has one primary goal: to bring heaven to earth, to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. Can you tell we're in the Christmas season in this series? Hello? Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking to you about this child that was born. That opening phrase in the seventh verse, "For unto us a child is born." I want to ask a question of the text and context. Who is it that the child is born to? You and I, on this side of the story, would say, well, he's born to the whole world to offer us all that he has to offer as a wonderful counselor, as mighty God, as everlasting Father, as Prince of Peace. He's born to us. But like many of the Old Testament prophecies, there is a dual meaning for a text. The primary one at the moment was about a guy who, back in the 8th chapter, the first verse, a baby that would be born and that was born to the prophet and the prophetess, Isaiah and his wife. And what was his name? Well, let me take a stab at it. You ready? Mahershalal Hashbaz. You say it. Mahershalal Hashbaz. As you know, names in Bible are indicative of character, and they speak to us about the individual, and that name is no different. Isaiah, by God's grace, was given a son with that name. And that son born to him, that name was a part of what God wanted to say to the nation as a whole. He wanted to say, Mahershalal Hashbaz. Okay. Done with speaking in tongues? What does that mean? It's indicative of something. What's the meaning of it? All put together, it means something like this: to the victor belongs the spoil. You've heard that phrase before, of course. It actually came right out of the Bible and out of that name. In short, it really is saying to the spoil. Now, what on earth does that have to do with Israel and the day that it was written? The child's name, Mahershalal Hashbaz, that child's name, what does it have to do with spoil? It is that God has awakened an army called Assyria who is now surrounding Israel. And you need to know this. In that day, when armies surrounded nations, they would often bring terror to the heart of the nations that they were about to attempt to conquer by simply, with their massive unified voice, saying Mahershalal Hashbaz. What were they saying? The army about to oppress Israel and bring down Judah and Israel was about to take them as spoil. And there they quake in fear. By the way, you're going to look in a little bit with me at the fact that this child is a wonderful counselor, who has the ability to stand against all the strategies and all the counsel of the enemy and bring that enemy down. But not in the day that Isaiah lived. Assyria, an instrument in the hand of the Lord, is about to take captive God's chosen people. for they have denied him. And in the midst of that conflict and battle, you'll see in a little bit, they forgot even, no, they neglected even, yes, by their own choice, they neglected to look up and see God. They neglected to trust him for their victory in battle, and you're going to be shocked where they turned. So that's what took place in Isaiah's day. But as he spoke those words about to the spoil belongs the victor, he was looking as well far beyond that day in that moment to a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace who would be born to bring victory to all who would believe in him and follow him. His name we know as God with us, Emmanuel. His name we know as Jesus, Savior. His name we know as Messiah, Christ, the Anointed One. Him we see from this side of this text. What they did not understand clearly in Isaiah's day. There will be one who, when he entered this world, would ultimately hang on Calvary's tree and cry out, "It is finished! Victory!" And then he would, after 3 days and three nights, rise from the tomb, and he would be securing for himself by that death and resurrection a spoil. And guess who that spoil is? I can tell you're pumped. It's me. It's you. It's all who will believe. To us he offers the victory. And we are the spoil if we follow him, who one day will be presented, and I'm ready for it to come before Rob even gets here. I'm ready for him to come at the rapture and gather his spoil and take it white and finally pure without any more battles, ushered as the righteous bride, the spoil of the groom presented to the Father in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus. Well, until then, that's the sweet by and by. Until then, we live in the nasty now and now. And we need some help, don't we? In fact, that's why I love to gather with you every Lord's Day, because I just want to help us find some help from the victor to whom the spoil belongs. Unto us a child is born. Unto us, and that article doesn't need to be there. It's not really out of place, but it's emphasized better if the article A were not there. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It actually is unto us son is given. And what does that mean? Oh, beloved, that is not a veiled view of the fourth word in the Bible. In the beginning, say it together. God, Elohim, plural in form. God the Father, who is over all. God the Son, who spoke all things into being in the beginning of time. And God the Spirit, who broods over that which God is at work doing, or over what God has done. And it is that second person in those creative days who became an embryo in a womb and was born to the Virgin Mary and becomes what we know now as the Wonderful Counselor, or literally, if you will, and by the way, some Bibles have a comma between wonderful and counselor. And my best understanding today is to keep the Hebrew flowing the way it should in that text. That comma should probably be removed. Punctuation marks are not infallible, especially if I'm writing. They're not infallible in the Bible. It should read, wonder of a counselor. What a wonderful counselor he is. Now, I want to talk to you about this wonderful counselor and why he's introduced by Isaiah. You already have some understanding by the introduction that I gave you. You already understand that Israel's in trouble. An army is already strategized as to how to overtake them, and it looks pretty hopeless for them. They need someone who has the capability of strategizing in a superior way to the enemy strategists. Do you ever feel like you're living in the face of an enemy? And you need a strategy that is superior to that enemy who seems at the moment to be winning? You ever been there? I have, Larry. Yes, thank you. Sure we have. The question is, where do you turn when you need a strategy to win? Maybe a better question is, to whom do you turn when you need a strategy to overcome the enemy that seems to be winning? And the people of God in Isaiah's day, who were the chosen of God, failed to turn to God. I want to put a statement on the screen. I want to ask you to let God's Spirit drive it home to your heart. When people fail to turn to God for strategy and counsel in the face of the enemy, they then turn to counsel that is not from above, but from below. And in Isaiah's day, when they failed to turn to God and trust Him in the face of the enemy, it resulted in an increase in superstition. They turn to powers from beneath them. And I want you to see how it's worded. Verse 19. And when they say to you, those who are wanting to know what to do about Assyria, who's going to conquer us, and they're not turning to God, they will say to you, Prophet Isaiah, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter. God's got a sense of humor. I think he's saying here, just let them go. Let them see how it works out for them. I mean, go to the counselors that are beneath the God of heaven and earth, the counselors that are below, and you get some idea with the word mediums, and most of us don't use the word necromancer much, do we? It's simply a way of repeating a medium. It's someone who goes to the devil's world, to the occult. And when you go to the occult, the counsel, the strategies from beneath, what do you hear? Chirping and muttering. Now, when you think chirp, don't think, anybody know what a whippoorwill is? Man, I used to go to bed at night to that chirping, to the whippoorwill, who has a unique peep. It's kind of a song. I wish I had the ability to whistle. I'd show you what it was like. Anybody can do that for us? Don't. It'll put you to sleep if you listen to it long enough. This is not a peaceful chirp of a bird. It's kind of an unfortunate word used when it comes to our understanding of the word. It really is an audible but unintelligible answer from the occult. And to add on that, or to build on that, he says they not only chirp, but they mutter. And what's the muttering like? It's a word that means the guttural sound, more like a groaning back in the throat. Audible, but again, unintelligible. Now, are you with me? What's happening? When people fail to turn to God, they turn to that which is beneath Him and often even below us. And what do they get? Nothing. No answer. No help. When the evil one is involved, and he certainly is, don't go too far below. In our culture, we've not been used to the occult world in America. Elaine and I spent 2 months in South Africa, and they know full well what the occult world is like. They have witch doctors who live in the fanciest, most expensive homes, while the people over whom they hold sway and absolute control live in mud houses with tin roofs. And when they are ill, they will run to the witch doctor and pay them big money for a bunch of nonsense. What the counsel they get goes something like this in South Africa. You want to know why AIDS has spread in that country in the last 15 years? It's because a man gets sick having ignored God and His rules for the physical relationship with one man and one woman in matrimony, and only in that relationship is that a holy one. That's a good place for an amen in America. When they violate that principle and suffer physically because of it with AIDS and HIV, they run to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor says, "Well, I've consulted with your ancestors." Think ghost whisperer. "I talked to the dead, and this is what they told me. You've offended them, and the only way you're going to get over it," listen to this ignorance, "the only way you're going to get over it is if you, young man, go find a 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old virgin girl and violate her. And consequently, the children, with that nonsense of advice, are destroyed physically and emotionally for their life, and many of them for eternity." You and I aren't involved in that much, though I think it's coming to America if we're not careful. At the same time, if we are not appealing to God when the army and the enemy surrounds us and shouts out, "To the victor belongs the spoil, you're mine," if we're not looking up to the mighty wonder of a counselor, then we're going to look beneath him and get just as radical of nonsense that is not transforming of heart and soul and mind. You want to know why marriages are falling apart in this country? Because when the enemy attacks it, instead of looking up, they're looking out and down. God alone has the answers. Do you believe that? You know why 3,000 churches a year are closing? Because in the face of opposition, in the face of the enemy when he seems to be winning. God's church is failing to look up. Instead, they look out or look down. And all those solutions are nonsense. The only help comes from above. Somebody say, yo. So loss of faith in God results in superstition. It also results in complaint. When people don't look to God and they're about to fail or fall, and this is the complaint, when they are hungry, they'll be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God. I've learned over the years, most of the time, instead of complaining against God, we don't have that kind of courage. We rather complain against those whom we assume are close to God. Leaders, and my beloved, that boils down to complaint. And I've never seen a church survive complaining mindsets and hearts. Have you? No. It only helps, instead of turning down and looking out, where you'll find plenty to complain about, especially in this guy. Yeah. Oh, it's going to take longer than I thought. Look up, because he's the only one that we can never complain about. He's the perfect, righteous, number one title of him in the book of Isaiah, used 26 times, only used 6 other times in all the rest of the Old Testament. The Holy God of Israel. Kings and rulers and leaders are never supremely holy. Look up. He is, and he's the solution to my complaint and yours. Believe that? Then there's the counsel that's from above. It's the one that comes from this child, this son. His counsel would supersede merely human wisdom that's from below. And here is described in this way: the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Put those two words together and you come up with a word that is only descriptive of God. And it's omniscient. Wisdom and understanding, he knows it all. That's my counselor. The spirit of counsel is his, and might. Just as wisdom and understanding coupled mean omniscience, so counsel and might mean omnipotence. The power to carry out his strategies to bring down the enemy. And then the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord carries that whole idea of God is always present with me, and I fear him more than I fear man. I fear him more than I fear the enemy. I fear him more than I fear the evil one. Why? Because he is always with me. That is omnipresence. And they all rest in the person of the Spirit of God, who rested upon the child son. Man, what better counselor to have than that? Omniscient, omnipotent. Always with me, omnipresent. Wonder of a counselor. I'm going to skip over this next one. Your turn. So, church, no wonder Isaiah called him wonder of a counselor. The Spirit of God rested upon him. So that all that God was, The Spirit empowered in him, and he was himself as he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's who we worship at this Christmas season. The one who was Elohim, God, controlled by the Spirit. And by the way, you and I have the same Spirit living within us. Well, if I wouldn't starve you to death, I'd shout. J.O. would. They know who I mean. Amen and amen. Wonderful Counselor. Are you perplexed? Then passionately pursue the wisdom of the Wonderful Counselor. And any other voice that is chirping and muttering from below, check it out. With the wisdom of the Wonderful Counselor is found where? In the Word of God. My friend, if you're perplexed and you've fallen prey to the enemy, could I ask you to do one thing in this Christmas season? Look up from whence cometh your help. He'll give you feet like hinds feet, that is deer feet, who in the Bible day lived in this place where there was this vertical cliff, lofty and high. And by looking up, they were able to run up the cliff like deer were able to do. Seemed impossible to get up there. But from there to turn and look and see that which made you afraid down in the valley of the shadow of death. I see it from above because my spiritual eyes of faith take me, borne by the Spirit of God, to see them from that different vantage point, the vantage point of the Wonderful Counselor. Now, you know that with the gift of exhortation, I couldn't quit without one statement here. You're getting ready to vote on whether or not to affirm the next servant leader. Without telling anyone how to vote, that's between you and God. I'm not so concerned about how you vote as I am about where your counsel came from. Fair enough? Hello? Where'd it come from? Horizontally? Then quickly climb the heights and see it from the Divine Counselor's perspective. And I beg of you, if you have not done that, no matter how you plan to vote, if you've not done that, don't vote. Let it pass by until you have counsel from above. And all who cared to said, stand with me, please. My Father, what a joy to know you through that child, Son. What a joy to have wisdom in a moment like this, in a critical, pivotal point in this church's life and history. Make us one, not with each other, but one with the mighty, wonderful wonder of a counselor. Make us one as we express his will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, my Father, in the